Do I annoy you?
Yes, you do.
You answered very quickly. too quickly, I think.
Yeah, it's...
How?
I'm kidding. It's sometimes you annoy me.
Like how so? What do I do?
I mean, for example...
yeah, I would like to know.
I am trying to have a moment to myself in the bathroom. One thing, actually, now that we're on that topic. So bathroom... When I'm trying to get ready for work or just get ready in general, and then you come in and want to have like a very deep conversation with me, that can be kind of annoying.
Oh, so I just wait until it's you're on the pot to go and ask
well,
you deep questions?
Well, I wasn't going into detail of me on the, you never do that, of me on the toilet, but it's when I'm getting ready and getting dressed and I need focus. I don't know if anyone else is like that. I know you probably don't need focus, but I never ever feel like I should come in while you're getting ready to have a deep conversation with you. Cause I don't want to throw you off your game, but you like want eye contact. So you're like staring at me as I'm getting ready. And then it throws me off my game. Cause I'm like, I can't focus on getting ready right now because you're talking to me and I can't think about what you're saying and get ready at the same time.
You always tell me I'm not good at multitasking, but it's time to look in the mirror on this one.
Well, see, when you have to, you know, put this together. Not everybody wakes up like you, Corey, that looks perfect and great.
That's true. My hair is impeccable, impeccable shape
and
when I wake up.
You still mold it, but it looks great when you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry about putting pieces together in the morning like I do.
Notice, but lately I've been driven.
August and
Methodist
Queen works
only occasion.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
Welcome to Hey, They Grow Up So Fast with Corey and Camille Heppala.
You know, I didn't know I was really all that annoying until we, you know, got married and moved in together. That was kind of when I found out, oh man, I had no idea I was annoying.
Yeah, and isn't that funny that annoys me and not other things? Like,
that's because I'm pretty perfect.
Like your gas.
Wow. It's just my stomach hurts. You know, you can't hold that in. My stomach will hurt, and therefore, like, that's just...
I mean,
that could be... There are actually studies now that say...
Gas is good.
Yes, you have to let it out, or else it'll build up, and it'll cause me to die earlier, so...
Well, I think that you're just lucky I have two older brothers, and things like that have just... They don't really annoy me, because they don't really... Phase me, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
if I had sisters, it'd be different.
It is true. The first date that we went on, and when I did fart, that you laughed. That was your response. It was to laugh, so I knew we were good then.
I don't know if I laughed.
Yeah, you laughed.
I think it's funny. I laughed because I was nervous.
Oh, it was a nervous
laugh.
Well,
I didn't know you, so.
Well, we're still
imagine
here.
I'm like, oh, haha, that's embarrassing.
We're still here, so it worked out pretty well, I guess. You are, though. One thing that, since we're on the topic, one thing that annoys me about you is...
My gas?
No, just how...
I don't do that.
Yeah. Let me just say, I've woken up in the middle of the night many a time to a false alarm that shook the bed.
It was you. And you just don't realize.
I wasn't going to say anything, but you set yourself up. The one thing that really annoys me about you, since we're on the topic, is just how much you hate germs. Like, I hate germs.
I've gotten better.
You hate germs.
Yeah. I mean,
another level.
I was on another level when you met me. After having kids, getting pooped on, peed on, farted on.
Even the first kid, though. First kid was pretty bad.
Anything that touched the floor, I threw away. Yeah, it was bad.
Then the twins came along.
And I was
so
like,
yeah,
who
we
cares?
You know, we have a we have an oldest son who's 4 and a half, and then boy girl twins who are 3. And when they came along, it, you know, the first kid, you're like, you take the pacifier, falls on the ground, and you're like, oh my God, we gotta burn it.
I know.
We gotta throw it away.
Gotta go buy new ones.
You know, with the twins around, we were like, oh, what did that land in your diaper? That's fine. Just wipe it on my pants. It's fine.
It all goes out the door after you have the one, you know. And maybe for some people, though, they have the one and they're just not germophobes. But for me, I don't know why.
Would you consider yourself a germaphobe?
Not anymore. But back then, because I've fallen on the germaphobe meter. Like, I was way up there. I've fallen quite a bit. You know, I mean, I'm a much different person.
Yes.
Germ-wise.
Yes.
In many other ways. But germ-wise than I was after kids.
Do you think... Now, your mom was in the medical field.
Yeah.
Did that have an impact on you?
A little bit. They were very clean. They weren't neat people. But they were very clean. I mean, every week we cleaned deeply in the house.
Like dust?
Dust and... You know, even things you couldn't see. My mom always felt like there are germs you just can't see that you have to clean, you know? And so that's where we're different. Like, you are like, I don't see anything. And I'm like, just because you don't see it doesn't mean there's no germs. And maybe I'm alone in this. But my mom, yeah, probably because she did work in the medical field and she was around a lot of germs. She was just super, cautious about it.
Yeah. But see, I'm neat. I'm organized. Very neat. I put things away.
Yep.
But I don't dust on your level. Or like when we had Cormac and he was 8 months old and I put him in a swing and he's swinging, I didn't have a problem with that. I'm like, okay, I'll just, you know, when we're done, we'll wash his hands. But you freaked out on me about that.
Yeah, and it's so funny because now I don't care. If the twins go in the swing, I'm like, who cares? But yeah, I did because you never know what happened before that. Like, I mean, those are the things I had capacity to think about, like, I don't have that capacity anymore to think about who was sitting in this swing before Cormac. Like, now I'm like, I don't even care. Let's get him in the swing. Makes him happy. They stop whining. You know?
The kids have worn you down.
They've worn me down big time, you know, because Cormac would definitely, like, I had some extra time on my hands so I could really think about things and actually use wipes. But now I'm too tired. I'm like, they're going to live. And maybe those germs are good.
This is where I'm coming from. I think they're good. I think they're good. I think you need some germs in your life.
Yeah.
I think otherwise you get out there in the real world in kindergarten, and then all of a sudden you're sick all the time.
Yeah. I mean, Sevi, you know how he is. I mean, that's our smallest child.
Well.
Because he was, you know, what, 6 minutes
He's the youngest. He's not the smallest.
No, he's not.
He's the youngest.
The youngest child. Twin. And he puts everything in his mouth. Dirt. Who knows what else? Poop? Possibly.
Sometimes I wonder, how is that kid mine? Because I don't like to get dirty or muddy. And we open up the garage and he runs to the nearest puddle, you know, mud. It rolls around in it. Like,
he loves
it's just,
mess.
It's just crazy to me.
Yeah. No, it is absolutely crazy. And I don't know if he's mine. Because if I'm the germaphobe, I definitely didn't like that.
Yeah, well, I know he's yours. I was in the room. I saw everything. So I know he's yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't let him out of my sight. So, yeah, we know he's yours. The one thing, though, that, you know, that I notice about myself is that I am not, I think I'm pretty middle of the road with germs. Like, I don't get overly nervous about germs, but I'm a clean person. So we always wash hands. We have sanitation. We have Purell and wipes and stuff like that. So I'm very cognizant of that. But when you were on another level, I tried to be empathetic. I tried to understand it, but it built up. Like, it built up in me where I'm like, okay. Because it felt like I could never do anything right.
I really did not think you were empathetic at all in that situation.
How
That's
so?
Interesting.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I just never remember you being like, I do maybe remember you being annoyed if I look back. So to me, I never really thought you were an empathetic, you know, person at that time.
That's probably something that has continued over the years.
I just feel like
me being unempathetic.
Yeah. I just don't think you're an empathetic listener.
Why would you say that?
Because you aren't.
What do you mean?
And that's okay. Not everybody is. It's difficult to be an empathetic listener. You have to kind of put yourself in other people's shoes, and it's not easy to do.
See, now, I know I'm not perfect, but I do think that I'm pretty good. Like,
you're good with other people. It's just not good with me.
Is it because I'm not listening, or I'm not understanding, or Why would you say that?
Yeah, I guess it's more of like you don't understand, and you don't have to understand. But to me, it's like you want to put yourself in other people's shoes and be like, right, I see that. I know the situation's hard for her. And instead of getting annoyed and upset about it, you actually think like, oh, she's really struggling right now because she's a germaphobe or whatever.
And so you don't think I do that, is what you're saying?
Nope.
Never?
No, not never, but...
Just not enough.
I would say 95% of the time you don't.
95% of the time? Come on. Maybe there's times where you just don't know. Maybe I'm being very empathetic and then things smooth over, but then it's like the one time I
think you think you're being empathetic.
Well...
But you're not.
It's hard to be everything to you or to everyone.
Oh,
right?
I'm sorry. Are you everything to me?
No, but I'd like to be, I guess is what I mean.
Oh.
I'd like to be. You know, I want to be that everything.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of pressure to be that everything. You know, I want to be, I'm sure you're the same way. I want to be the best husband. I want to be the best father. I want to be the best coworker. I want to be the best leader. I want to be the best role model. I want to do, you know, I want to be the best friend and son and brother and like all those things.
Do you wake up thinking this way?
I wake up, yes, I wake up single day thinking I want to live the perfect day.
Wow.
But I do that with everything in my life. But that's me. I'm a perfectionist, you know.
Yeah,
like everything is just, I'm trying to be a perfectionist in everything I do. I've always been that way. And so, yes, I wake up trying to have I'm going to make today a perfect day.
Wow. And I'm not like that. I wake up and I'm like, gosh, I have to get the kids up. Someone probably has a poopy diaper. And then I got to do breakfast. And then I got to get dressed. And I got to go to work. And then so I just think of the list of things I have to do. But I never think of it like I'm going to make it the best. I'm just going to do the best I can. And that's where I'm at. Like, I don't think that. But I know, like, I'm one person and I can only do so much. So that's where my mind's at. Yeah. Like, I'm going to get through today. I'm going to survive.
Well, that's very, yeah. I mean, that's very human. I think mine is probably pretty peculiar, pretty odd.
Yeah.
Like every interaction that I have with you or the kids or with anybody I meet in the street, I want it to be the perfect interaction. I want them to say, I like that guy. And I try to live my life that way. Obviously I'm not perfect, but I try to live that way. And you know, it is a lot of pressure, though. Like it builds up over the day, and when things go wrong, I do struggle with when things get chaotic or there's challenges, and it takes me in my mind time to kind of like understand. Okay, things have changed. Wrap my mind around it. How do I handle this situation? How do I explain it not only to other people but myself?
Yeah, it's really interesting though, because I feel like you're a perfectionist, but you're also very laxed when it comes to like the kids' schedule. Like I'm a very, when it comes to the kids and like my life, I'm scheduled where I feel like you're okay with, you know, bedtime 6:30, maybe it's 7, maybe it's 7:30. Like it's not as like they gotta be in bed at 6:30, because I guess in my mind I'd feel like you'd want to be perfect and hit the 6:30 time, but maybe that's different.
Yeah, that's okay, so... With that in particular, it's kind of like, well, anytime between 6:30 and 7:05, you know, for instance,
yeah,
then that's fine. That's just fine.
Not a perfectionist thing. That's a
no, but like if it got later, I'd be a little bit like, okay, it's a little bit too late, or
yeah.
And to be fair, like 7:30, that's, I don't even think that's ever happened, to be honest,
not
outside
with you.
Of maybe a couple of times with our oldest, mm-hmm. But. You know, I try to hit that. It's basically a window for me. But with our own lives, same thing. I have a window. You know, I get up at 5 a.m. So I try to be asleep by 10 because I know that I'm more efficient when I get 7 hours. And so it's like, you know, I've got a window there where it's like 9:45 to 10:15. I'm trying to hit that.
I know. And you do such a great job. You're like, I'm going to go to bed. Like gone, just out. And I'm like, wow, I wish I could just say I'm going to bed and out. Like, it's not happening. It takes me a good 30 minutes to fall asleep.
I do, you know, I think by the end of the day, I'm pretty worn out mentally.
I will say you
emotionally.
Don't snore. You know, I made a snore noise.
Yeah. That was good for the story, though. It did really build up the story. I thought it was nice.
Enhanced
a nice
it.
Touch. But, you know, along with that perfectionism, I do feel, maybe this is the Christianity too, but I feel an incredible guilt a lot. And, especially when things don't go right or I don't respond in the right way. But I feel this this incredible guilt. And I also feel a guilt as a dad that what I do is never good enough.
And there, you're right. I mean, you're a fantastic dad. And in a way, you help me live in the moment, because sometimes where I'm just like, gosh, I just want to survive today, get to bedtime. You're like, no, let's go do something. Let's make memories. And so I don't know if that's your perfectionist stuff, but it helps me to live in the moment because, yeah, they do grow up so fast. So.
Do you ever feel that guilt or feel like you're not enough, whether it's as a parent or an employee or a wife or whatever?
I mean, for me, the guilt I feel is I don't spend enough time with each child. I struggle because, and then I'm like, gosh, did I give Sevi more hugs than Cormac and Sinia? Did I give Cormac too much attention? I didn't give enough to Sinia and Sevi. Like, that's the kind of guilt I have, especially for like Sinia. And then when they get upset, I feel guilty and I'm like, oh, I should do something, like buy them ice cream. Or I just feel like with the kids, I feel bad because I just never want them to be like, you never loved me. And when they're older, they have issues, which they're probably gonna have issues anyway. Mm. We all do, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we all do. Well, we all carry things from our past.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I carry an incredible guilt all the time. And I think that's a real big part of the being a perfectionist is that it feels like to me I'm never enough. So like when you say that I'm not empathetic, well that hurts me some because I really do feel like I try to be. I know I'm not perfect, but then I do. I mean, I always say like, oh, I'll work on it. You know, I try to. I do think I'm better than when we started, like when we first met or we first got married.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure. That was very, very a great sell.
Not
there.
Like recording anything, but
yeah.
You know, it's just, I think it might be part of the perfectionist thing. Like maybe if you're a perfectionist, you can't be empathetic because you're thinking about being perfect and not thinking about like, you're probably more thinking, Camille, why aren't you just perfect? Life is great.
And you know, like, that's an interesting point. You know, when you think about it, I do like, I don't know about you, but when I look at like our lives, I think, man, we're incredibly blessed. Like we're blessed to have each other. We're blessed to have jobs. We are blessed with our health and these kids. And I'm just so very thankful. And I have for the longest time felt that even if something comes up, there's no reason I should complain. I should not be allowed to complain. I should not be allowed to have a crappy day. I should, no matter what happens, I should be put on your smiley face and be perfect because life is really good. And no matter what happens, we are fundamentally very blessed.
Yeah, but you know, life isn't perfect and it sucks sometimes. And that's okay. And it's okay to say it sucks. I mean, look at my life. I mean, I lost my mom. You know, we haven't, like, my family life is kind of all over the place. It's not horrible, but, you know, that was a huge loss for us, and it sucks. And you know what? It's okay to say it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you say your family life, so what do you mean?
Well, I mean, my mom was the glue that kept the family together, and she was gone, and my family were not as much together as we were when she was around.
You just mean everyone's spread out.
Yeah, everyone's spread out, does their own thing, no one checks in. And I mean, I have two brothers and my dad, so like no one talks because they're guys.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, life sucks. And I think it's okay to live in that and be like, you know, it's not great, but you do the best you can, you know. And I think that, you know, as a Christian, it's not bad to let God know and let the Lord know that it's not great.
Or that you're struggling.
But I am grateful for health and to wake up another day and to have the kids. And I mean, I'm not always like, why me? Sometimes I am, but not all the time, you know. But I think it's okay to just be like, this sucks, because it does.
That is one thing I have personally worked on, though, is that understanding that when something is frustrating or annoying, or it's okay to feel that because it's real. And then also too, when you bottle things up, man, it can just, and it comes out in different ways and you don't understand that, or it could become unhealthy habits or anything. So I think it is good to get that out into, you know, kind of express that stuff too.
Yeah. There has to be a balance, right, between you and I. Like, I can't be here like, woe is me all day, every day, you know, because that's horrible way to live. And it can't be like, oh, everything's perfect, even though there are things that happen in everyday life, you know, that affect life and you need to feel it and, you know, just live in it. But there has to be a balance somewhere where you're not living in the misery and you're not living in this bubble, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that medium is, but I hope I live it. I don't know. Maybe I don't. Maybe I live in the misery and you live in the bubble.
Does and we happen? Even each other out?
Hopefully.
He's here and she's down here. I don't think that's the case. But
well, that's good.
Yeah.
We find fun because then we talk about gas.
Yeah. And how... And how you woke us up like a little morning thunder.
I think you dreamed that and you thought it was me, but it was you. Mm-hmm.
Let's hit the topics, this week's topics. So we've got four topics here. The first is, hey, what a win. And that's something that the kids did. We did with the kids. It was a big win. Something happened. We felt good about it.
You're
how about
not
you?
Not stealing mine.
Okay, you can go first.
The big win was Sevi, our youngest but biggest child, has been sucking his two fingers for...
Since the womb?
I mean, yeah, since he was in the womb. And then he went to the dentist on Monday. Dentist said, you need to stop sucking your thumbs or we're
mind
have
you,
some issues.
We have been telling him this.
Oh, my gosh.
Over
every
and over.
Day,
and
multiple
all day.
Days. Yeah. Cormac's telling him. Sinya's like, take your fingers out of your mouth. He's the only child that has this mouth thing. And so... Finally, we got him this nail polish from Sweden. I think it's from Sweden or Switzerland. But anyway, the dentist gave it to us, gave him a talk. I gave him a talk and said, you got to keep your fingers out of your mouth. And I think he did it today.
Yeah.
At least most of the day. I did catch him one time.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the nail polish is super toxic. So it's he's not going to even touch it now. It's great.
Yeah. So that, to me, is a big win. He had his fingers out of his mouth most of the day today. And we're going to have a huge... I mean, if he does this throughout the week, like, stops putting his fingers in his mouth, like, he is deserving of a party at Chuck E. Cheese with cake and pizza. We're building it up. We're like, yeah. And they're excited. So,
hey, what a win for the kids. We were at the lake at my parents' house, and we were at the lake, and I jumped in myself into the middle of the lake, and I was very excited about that. And then Cormac and Sinya both put on life vests, and they didn't really jump out of the pontoon into the lake. No, it wasn't a push. It was kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
But I would not have expected that from them. Sometimes they get a little hesitant on things, but I thought that was a win. Like, I was excited that they were like, yeah, I'll go in. And it was a slow kind of drop in, and they didn't really run and jump, but they weren't scared.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was right there, and they had their life vest on, and it was fun. Like, it was cool to see them get a little dangerous.
Yeah, because they're not like that. It's usually Sevi.
Yeah.
Sevi said no.
He didn't want to do it. So I like that. Hey, that was hard. So this is, again, with the kids, the most difficult thing of the week.
Oh, my gosh.
With the kids.
I mean,
we're on the maybe on the same on this.
Yeah, potty. I mean,
it's just
Sevi. Just, you know, he has to go to the potty, and he refuses to go in the toilet. And
yeah, we've had a regression there because he did. I think we've talked about it on this podcast where he did it, and it was a big win.
It was great,
and so it's been a complete regression.
Yep, he waits for the diaper because we put the diaper on at night and nap time. And then he just lets it go then. And
he's even like, my stomach hurts.
Yeah,
and
I
like,
gotta use
you
the potty.
Have to go poop.
Yeah.
Just go.
Yeah.
We'll go with you.
And he's like,
and
no,
he gets
I
too
go.
Anxious or something. I don't know.
I think it's a control thing.
Mm.
Again, your child.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's a perfectionist.
Yeah, we're at my parents' place, and everyone's waiting to go back on the pontoon, and he is sitting there on the toilet. For what, 20 minutes with me there, and he's crying, and then he'll calm down and he'll be like, okay.
And who had the really good idea? Me.
You did.
Bring the potty onto
the I forgot
the
we
pontoon.
Had that portable little potty, and so we sat there, and we're finally like, let's just bring it out there, and he still never used it.
Nope.
And then the next day, he woke up, and it was just enormous. He's just holding it in. So we got to, I don't know, we got to get that figured out. Next topic. Hey, are you happy? Now, this one is for us. Is there something that I did this week that made you happy?
I will say when we went to Walker, Minnesota for Moondance Jam and we went to Train and Goo Goo Dolls, I was the most happiest with you. It was really nice.
Wow, that's the same thing I was going to say.
Really? Really?
Yes. I was going to say the same thing. I had an awesome time at Moondance Jam in Walker. Not like Frank the Tank from Old School awesome time. Not that awesome, but pretty close.
It was so fun.
It was fun. It was lit. I was lit.
That's what, you really let go.
I really let go.
You're like, I don't get why I'm not jumping up and down in a straight line.
Well, we pre-gamed hard.
You
hard.
Did.
Hard.
I don't know
pre-gamed
if I
hard.
I don't know if I pre-gamed as hard as you did.
Didn't eat. And so we're primed up, ready for this outdoor concert. And what was so exciting is that we've never done anything like this. We camped in my sister and her husband. They have a camper, so we stayed with them, so we knew we were safe. We didn't have to go anywhere. It was an outdoor concert. Our summer of 90s nostalgia continued with Goo Goo Dolls, Train, and we had Hootie earlier. It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was so fun, and so, I just let loose. I'm fun.
Yes, you did.
I'm fun.
Yeah, that was a good time.
All right, then, hey, are you mad? Is there something that I did that, and clearly this list goes on for you because you had a big list at the beginning, but hey, are you mad? That's something for us.
Let's just play number one again, the answers to the number one topic.
Did I do that again?
No.
Did I do that again? Talking to you while you're in the shower?
Yeah, you did do that again. So yeah, I mean, you know this though. In my head, I'm like, he knows this is not a good time to talk to me about serious things, and you come in. And I turn around, and you still are talking to me, trying to make eye contact,
hey, you,
looking annoyed.
You want to record a podcast? Here are the topics this week. You want to do it?
Let's talk about it while you're in the shower. Anyway, trying to just get a moment. Anyway.
Hey, are you mad? So, this isn't really you being mad. No, wait, I'm sorry. This isn't me being mad. This is more you being mad. But a couple of weeks ago, when I was gone for a night, you had rented a movie from Redbox. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the next day you returned the case and all that and never thought about it. Well, a couple of weeks go by, we throw in a DVD. We still do a DVD for some of the new releases. And I open it up and I'm like, what in the world? Green Book. What is Green Book doing in here? Because I saw
like,
it in the theater.
What is that doing in here?
I saw it in the theater. And I didn't even know. And you're like, oh, I rented that from Redbox. I'm like, you returned the Redbox DVD like case.
I'm sorry.
A couple of weeks ago.
Everybody can be perfect like you.
Well,
okay, mistakes happen.
I will tell you, being a perfectionist, I have perfected my passive aggressive eye roll. And it was on point.
No, it was.
So I looked in the DVD player, and I'm like, what is this? And you're like, oh, I must have forgot to put it back in the Redbox case, and I returned that a couple weeks ago.
Empathy. I'm busy. There's a lot going on up here.
And
in my brain.
Instead of that response, I gave the old passive-aggressive eye roll, and that set into motion a number of feelings that ended up not being good for me.
Nope.
Because I couldn't even explain this one away. I couldn't even be like, well, you know, I don't know what you were looking at. I didn't mean my eye roll like that.
Well, I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, I'm always having to coordinate, let's see, 3 doctor appointments, 3 dentist appointments, having to figure out who's going to pre-K, preschool, all this stuff. And I'm sorry. I forgot to put the Green Book DVD into the case. And you want to get mad at me about that.
I don't know that I was mad so much as I was annoyed at that moment only because
I do nothing all day. How could I?
Yeah. We had a small window of time to watch a part of a show or a movie. And so then I go up, oh, great, now I got to deal with this. So we're on the phone with Redbox. And we're like, well, I don't even know what to do.
Back up and say you were on the phone with Redbox.
I had to give them a call and figure out how do we get this movie back to you without, because what they'll do is they'll just charge you forever. So I'm like, how do we get this back? And then you had the brilliant idea of talking to Redbox and saying, So I got him on the phone, and they're going to charge us X amount of dollars, way over. And I was like, fine, whatever. We'll just. And he said, no. Give the phone to me. And you were, let me just say, you were pissed at me. But this receptionist or whoever, customer service rep, could tell in your tone maybe that you were upset with me. Because you're like, give me the phone. No, we're not paying that. It was a mistake. I've been a customer. I've never done this before. And we're not going to pay that. So what do I have to do? And she's like,
she probably didn't even know.
No, she had no idea. Well,
they had no idea.
So he explained. She's like, well, no, it's going to be this, you know, it's going to be this amount of dollars. And it's like $35. And I was just like, whatever, we'll pay it.
It's ridiculous.
And you're like, that's ridiculous. He said, put your manager on the line. She's like, what? Okay. And so she puts you on hold. And 2 minutes later comes back and says, all right, we're not going to charge you. Just bring the DVD back to the place you got, get the case, and we'll charge you the one day extra, you know, $2 or whatever to bring it back. And you're like, fine, thank you. And, you know, you hung up. And then I was like, that was pretty cool. I'd never do that. And you're like, thanks. And you were still angry at me. And I knew I couldn't go back from that eye roll no matter what I did. But I tried.
I was annoyed. That is more for me, but also you, I suppose.
Yeah,
but
that's why I was helping you out with that.
Your annoyance has no weight. I mean, I do a lot.
Mm-hmm. So. I don't do anything around here.
You do nothing.
I do nothing.
I do everything.
Mm-hmm. I do nothing. Hey, it's a card. So this was a card. It's from, what's it called again? I should get this. It's called, here, you talk for a second while I get the case, okay?
Just okay,
talk.
Sure. So, it's a round one together and a loan card. Corey's going to get the name of it. Oh, and okay. There's a question for points. So, he has the name, so we're going to talk about the name. And
I can't believe I forgot the name of the... So, it's called Vertel, and it's a game. Mm-hmm. We got it from Goose Gang in Perm. It's called Vertel, and so it's this relationship game. It's like Table Topics for couples. And we thought, it's fun. How about we pull one of these cards each week? We have not looked at this card. I have no idea what's on it. But we'll pick one of these cards, and we'll answer the question.
Yep.
And it's supposed to connect us. It's a table topic. So, Vertel. All right. So, you did a great job explaining it there, Barb. That's great. So, for both of you, think of a favor your partner can do for you in the near future. Keep the answer to yourself and guess each other's answers. Okay, so.
I already know.
What yours is or what you're going to guess?
What yours is.
Okay, think of a favor your partner can do for you in the near future. Keep the answer to yourself and guess each other's answers. All right, for you, what can I do for you in the near future? Probably a full body massage.
Yes. Yeah, ding, 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 ding. I actually wasn't even thinking that, but that sounds amazing.
Wait, that's how the game goes. So my answer was better than the answer you had? What was the answer you had?
In my head, I was just thinking like it'd be great to have an afternoon just to take a nap or to sleep in the morning. You just kind of hang with the kids and let me sleep in. That sounds amazing.
Why would I do that? That just seems like
and
a lot.
And I feel like you get annoyed when I try to do that. Like,
yeah,
I just sleep an hour. You know,
that's a good point. I do because I think I go. Well, I went to the bed. I went to bed at the same time as you.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm getting up at the same time. Why do I?
Well, I would do it for you. I feel like we should alternate. I've kind of offered that. Like
maybe.
You sleep anyway.
Maybe. All right.
I think yours is. If only she would do me a favor of returning the Redbox movie in the case, that would actually be doing me a favor.
For God's sakes, just return the DVD in the case at Redbox, and then we would be fine. We'd have no...
Honestly.
Be a perfect human like me, and then...
Well, see, and this is where it gets difficult, because I feel like you feel like you're so perfect that I really can't do you a favor, because you are so perfect.
I don't think I'm perfect.
And then you also have
the
guilt.
I try.
So you feel like I feel guilty of you even thinking of asking me for a favor. Or me asking Camille for a favor.
No, you know what? If there is a favor and then you did a favor, then I would feel like, oh, now I got to reciprocate. And then I'd feel like, I'd feel anxious about, okay, is mine as good as hers? I don't know what I'm doing.
So I really don't know, because there have been times where I'm like, hey, go away for a weekend. But then I think you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I really don't know what favor I could do for you. You tell me, what is it?
I was actually, as a good husband, I was waiting until your answer to agree with you. And then I was being like, yep, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, go away for a weekend and let me train our new nanny.
Okay. I can do that. Just me, though?
Yeah.
Just me.
It just makes sense.
What about the kids?
Yeah, well, we need the kids there so we can train.
Hmm.
Yeah. This is in two weeks, so keep it in mind.
Okay, well.
Make plans.
You know what?
I wish I could do that. Well, yeah, I did that one time.
What was your Mother's Day gift?
Yeah, I know. I said one time.
Well, all right. I'm not. You know what? I'm not going to fight you on that. I'm not going to fight you on that. That's a favor. I'll take it. How'd you feel about the show?
Good.
Okay. I felt good too.